God said, you will be fruitful and multiply. I believe. By the way, your wife, Sarah, she's going to have to give birth and you're going to diaper kids. How often God tells that to us too? He says, I'm going to prosper you and you're going to get a raise. I believe. So get to work on time. To make you one of the top of your class in college, I believe. So stay home and study. You understand, we believe 83%, but we trust about 4%.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. A recent survey found that 83% of the population believes in God, but only a small fraction of those have actually placed their trust in Him. So how do you get from a place of merely believing to really trusting? Well, so glad you asked. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, From Believing to Trusting.
We're going to talk about something we hear a lot about, but maybe don't quite understand always, and that's something called faith. Faith. We hear it all the time, the just shall walk by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith, and how do we get kind of our grips on that so that we understand what faith is? In fact, it says that we know that if we have even the faith of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. How many of you would say, I still got a few mountains to move in my life this year? Yeah, we do. So we want to talk about that. Now, we are convinced, faith might be defined as being convinced that God is true. I have faith. Being convinced that God is true, or believing in God. But we are still understanding what that means. Now, science is making progress in being convinced that God is the one that created the heavens and the earth. Now, you'll have some naysayers that'll say, unless we have empirical evidence that God created the universe, we're not going to believe it. And they remain atheists. And you got to remember this. There was a recent poll taken. It said 83% of the United States of America believes in God. 83%. But you know, even believing in God is just like half of what faith is. That's just half. Because you see, even the demons believe, James 2 says. Did you know that there is not one demon in the universe that's an atheist? Think about it. There is not one demon in the whole universe that's an atheist. They ain't that dumb. Only humans are. And so they don't believe. But demons believe, James 2 says, but they don't have the second part of faith. And here's the second part. Faith is made up. If you want a whole faith, you got to have two parts. The first is 83% says, I believe. We got that down pretty good. Most people believe that God is God. In fact, I've been reading a book called The Language of God, written by Francis Collins, a foremost scientist that was the head of the Human Genome Project, which really takes our chromosomes or our DNA and in this cryptographic language with 4 codes in each letter, they have spelled out that what it is in each cell of our body holds a hereditary code in your DNA, etc. And they, in their own cryptographic language, spelled out what that the DNA is. And they kept going. It took them years. And they found out that in one DNA, if they just scripted it out and what it contains and all of the little things that causes our body to function as it does, in every cell now, there's this language of God, he calls it. If he spelled it out, he said they finally did it to categorize the species of the human being, it came out to 3 billion letters. And that is what is copied from mother to child. And when one of those letters in this string of 3 billion does not copy correctly, you have a Down syndrome person or someone else with some kind of disability. One letter missing. God is absolutely amazing. The more scientists learn, the more they realize that this is a fingerprint of a divine creator and architect and engineer. And so science is getting more and more to that point. Now, in the meantime, you're going to have a whole bunch of naysayers. And this is where the second part of faith comes in. The first part is believe, and 83% of people do. Here's the second part, and that is called trust. Trusting in God. I believe, now then walk in that way. trust in that way. 83% of America believes, about 5% really trusts or lives that way. But it's the both combinations of that, those halves, that give you a full faith. That's a kind of faith that will remove mountains. That's the kind of faith that God commends. Now, it's pretty easy to believe but not trust. We do that all the time. Some time ago, a friend had invited me to Montana, and he said, there's an instructor that's teaching people how to cliff rappel. I said, what? Yeah, you jump off of cliffs that are 250, 300 feet down. I thought, no, oh yeah, you're hooked up to ropes and all of these, you know, things. And so the instructor was telling us, each rope holds 1,150 pounds. You have two of them, and you're all strapped in and netted in, so you can go to the edge of this cliff and you jump off. He said, do you believe that these ropes are good? Look at them. I said, I believe, but I ain't jumping off. You see, I had an inadequate faith. I believe everything, but I ain't gonna jump off. Same is true. You go to Disneyland, your kid says, Dad, this roller coaster is safe. I believe. And it's all run on I-beams. I believe. And engineers have done, I believe. Get on it. No, not in your life. See, I believe, but I don't trust. And a lot of times, that inadequate faith, where we believe, but we don't really live that way, we don't put our trust in God that way, sometimes it's because we've had bad experiences with one another. Isn't that true? Kind of like the story of the hotel that's burning, and three guys are yelling, help, help! One is a Portuguese, the other is a Japanese, and the third is a Pake. Help, help, we're gonna die! Just then the fire engine comes around, and they stop, and they bring out these trampoline kind of things, four or five firemen on each side, and so they say, jump, to the Japanese, jump! You sure? Jump, believe us, it's safe, believe! So he jumps out, just before he gets there, they move the trampoline, poof! They say to one another, we don't like Japanese. No, we don't like Japanese, that's right, we don't like Japanese. The Pake guy, jump! I go, I saw what you do to a Japanese. No, jump! Believe us, we like Pakes! He jumps, just before he hit, they move. Poof. We don't like Pakes either. No, I don't like Pake. They go to the Portuguese guy, jump! No, I saw what you did to the Japanese and the Pake guy. I'm not gonna jump, I'm not stupid, you know. Jump, believe us, we like Portuguese. No, I tell you what, the only way I'm gonna jump, you put that trampoline down and back off. Don't tell me Portuguese not smart. But we can believe but not trust because we've had poor experiences. But then what it does is it bleeds over into even when you have trustworthy people. And you've heard the classic story of Blondin, who is the tightrope walker, the great expert. He takes a wheelbarrow filled with sand and he brings it across a tightrope across the Niagara, 160 feet down. And when he comes to the other side, to the cheers and the applause of people, and he's saying, do you believe I could take this back across this wheelbarrow? Oh, we believe, we believe. Do you believe that I could put a human being in here and take him across? We believe, we believe. So, well, who will be the first to volunteer? All of a sudden, they believe, but they don't trust. You see, the two halves of a whole faith that moves mountains is belief, but then we need to trust. And when that takes place, then you've got a whole faith. And that's when God begins to release his blessings, his resources, and also move mountains. Abraham is called the father of our faith. But in the beginning, he only had the first half, belief. And that was good. In fact, he came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you will become the father of many nations. I believe, he said. By the way, he's 100 years old and his wife is 90. So he's sure, I believe, because he'd been childless till then. I believe. And you know what God says? Let's look at the top of our notes and let's read it together. At the top of your notes, in Galatians 3:6, go. Even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Would you circle believed God? Well, he had the first half down, like 83% of America does. He believed God. But a little bit later, when push comes to shove, when he figures, I know God said I'm going to be the father of many nations, and he looked at Sarah and thought, no way. And he thought, well, maybe, and with her permission, he goes into the younger servant or the maid of Sarah, and through her, Hagar conceives, because that's how it must be, and gives birth to an Ishmael. Ishmael is now the father of the Arab nations. Now, whenever you do an end run on God's promise and you think you'll figure it out your own way, because God's given me this desire and I'll just figure out relationships or whatever my own way, whenever I've done an end run on God, whenever I have circumvented God, it's always brought pain into my future. Every time. Well, in fact, all of Ishmael's descendants become the very people that are Israel's enemies the rest of their lives. They're fighting against all of these. Basically, you know what they were doing? They're fighting their own half-brothers the rest of their lives. And if you think about it, even today, now yet today, if you rewind the tape, back then where it started, even today, do you know where Abraham, the father of our faith, came from? Ur of the Chaldees. You know where that is today? It's where Iran is and Kuwait is. Iraq is. And so where Iraq is, he's an Iraqi. He went to Haran where his father dies, or it's called Padan Haran, where he actually goes later on, or runs up to later on, and so does Jacob, goes up there, gets his wife, and Rebecca, Isaac's wife, is from there. So that's up where Syria is today and Iran is today. That's where they marry, and they come back down. You know who they're fighting today? Their own family. You know where all the war's going on right now? It's a family feud over real estate and inheritance. And I look at it, and I think, you know, it's because Abraham believed God, but when it came to trusting God's ways, different. He couldn't trust God's ways. He had to circumvent it because he was still developing a faith. God has to come in and speak to Abraham a second time. And let's read it out of Genesis 17. Would you read it with me? Go. I will bless Sarah, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He laughed. You see, he believed God in one verse, but when it came to trust God, he couldn't. He had half of faith, but the trust part, no, I have to do it my own way, and brought pain into his future. You see, God said, you will be fruitful and multiply. I believe. By the way, your wife, Sarah, she's going to have to give birth, and you're going to diaper kids. How often God tells that to us too? He says, I'm going to prosper you and you're going to get a raise and you're going to be fruitful in finances. I believe. So get to work on time. I'm going to make you one of the top of your class in college. I believe. So stay home and study. I'm going to prosper you. I believe. So start tithing. You understand, we believe 83%, but we trust about 4%. But God is saying, if we need a faith, which all of us do, to remove some mountains in our lives, you have to have a whole faith. And what we want to talk about is the second half that we struggle with. And God is saying, you might believe my words, but you have to, here it is, trust my ways. Would you write that in number one? Trust his ways. Trust is huge because that's half of faith. You got believe and you got trust. Believe is that chair will hold me. Trust is what? Sitting down. That's right. Believe is that bank is worthy to keep my money. Trust is what? Giving your money to it. That's right. And letting them keep it. Believe, I believe that mechanic is the best mechanic for my car. Trust is taking my car to him. Believe is that's the best doctor I know for this surgery. That's the best. Trust is going, getting on the gurney and letting him put that thing on your face. You believe and you trust. You need both sides, otherwise healing will not take place. Mountains will not be removed. Life will not be changed. Husband, wives, it takes two parts of faith. It's believe. We're pretty good at that. How many of you would attest to that? We're pretty good at the believe part. Raise your hand. Yeah, all of us do. Trust part. How many of you would say, I need some work on that part? Raise your hand. Yeah, me too. We want to talk about that. And Abraham was still learning that. He was learning how to trust God's ways because it requires a partnership with God. It's the trust part that God says, you've got to trust my ways. Let's read what it says in Hosea 14. Go. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. The ways of the Lord are right. That's right. Even though it doesn't feel right at first. But hardly ever anything does. If you're trying to learn golfing, there's going to be a certain swing and a certain way you've got to swing. It doesn't feel right at first, but you've got to keep practicing until it does feel right. Even tennis or racquetball or whatever it might be, even playing piano, there's a certain posture and the way that you have to do your fingers when you do scales, a certain way. And we say, oh, that's just so hard. No. It doesn't feel right, but it is right. Trust is when something even doesn't feel right, I know this is what the instructor, the architect, the engineer says, this is the way life is to be designed, and you get comfortable with it. But it's not comfortable. I don't feel like, you just do it until it feels right. And that span of time when you start it doesn't feel right until it does, you know what that's called? A season of trusting God. I don't have all the answers. It doesn't feel right, but I know the engineer, the architect, the maestro said, this is the way it is, the designer, and I do it. Even though it doesn't feel very comfortable, I know that God is saying that I get to trust him. There's sometimes my attitude wants to be one way, and the Bible says, no, you have your attitude this way. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2 speaks about that. And so I make the switch. It could be my thoughts, my words, my priorities in life, the way I give, serving, daily devotions, the disciplines. I don't feel like it, but I know, I believe that God is right. I believe that what he's saying is right. Okay, that's half of it now. If you're going to have a faith to remove mountains in your marriage, in your life, in your future, you got to have both sides. And we're going to work on the trust part that says, even though you don't feel right about it and your attitude doesn't want to do it, you do it. Because you trust God. And when you have both halves, I tell you, the greatest commendations in the world are given to those who understand what a whole faith is. Because would you write in your bullet, you know that his word is worthy of our trust. His word is worthy of our trust. And boy, do you get a commendation. In fact, the highest commendation in the New Testament was given to a centurion who understood both halves of faith. His servant was lying sick with a fever. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you come to my house and heal my servant? And the Lord was so gracious. He said, you know, I'll do that. I'll come over to your house. And then he pauses and he says, you know, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And the Lord pauses and he says, wait a minute. You mean I'm just going to speak the word and then you're going to turn and go and you're going to trust that it's done? Oh, yeah. Because I, too, am a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. You have authority. You just, it's done. I will go home and I will trust that it's done. And the Lord stops and he makes the highest commendation for a man who understands faith in its wholeness. Would you read what he says here? Go. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. You see, because when the Lord spoke that, the centurion turns on his heels and he walks home. He's not going to find out that his servant is healed until he gets home. If it's 6 miles away, an hour or so later, he finds out. But while he's walking, he knows. Has it been proven empirically yet? Nope. But what's he walking in? He is trusting God. And when God sees that you not only believe in His Word, but you walk in trust, even though it's not conclusive or empirically determined, you are a person that walks in trust. God says, whoa, that's it. That's the kind of faith that has both halves to it. That, even a mustard seed of that, will move mountains. You understand what He's saying? Absolutely crucial. Sometimes we believe, but we don't trust. But when you do, that's when the resources of God opens up. I have a single mom in this church, and I asked her for permission to share this. And this happened just a few days ago. And being a single mom, she doesn't have oodles of income by which she's raising her two children. And she had one son going to college, and she had already written her tithe check. It was $250. It was written but kept in her checkbook, but written out. And she was saying goodbye to her son as he's going off to college. Now, supporting a son in college and everything else, she has to really budget. And as she was saying goodbye to her son, she just wanted to write him a check for some money, you know. And so she actually was about to turn the tithe check over and write him and give him the money, the tithe check. And he said, you know, she said, I just really feel like I'd like to do that. And he said, Mom, you don't need that. That's your tithe check. Yeah, but I'll catch up later. He said, no. And so she said, oh, man, I was just about ready to do that, Wayne. And I just thought, I just got to trust God to take care of me and my kids. So I said, thank you to my son. And she said, on the way home, her son called her on the cell phone. Now, this just happened last week. Called her on the cell phone and said, Mom, you won't believe this, but our plane got postponed. And you know what they did? They gave all of us passengers a $300 voucher. So we're still going to go on the next plane. Now I have $300. The next flight I come home with, you don't have to pay. Isn't that great? And and she told me this. And she said, when you not only believe God, but you trust Him, that's what opens the windows of heaven. And provision begins. And now just think of what that one incident did to the faith of her son. Huge, exponentially multiplied it. It's not just believing, it's trusting. And when that happens, God says even a mustard seed of it will move mountains. See, that's where all of us have to come to grips with. You've got to answer this one question. Will I change my life and my habits and my desires and my tendencies to match what the Word says or what I believe the Word says? Or will I change the Word to match what I think it should say? That's a question you'll have to answer in life. Will I change God's Word to match me? Or will I change me to match God's Word? And even though my emotions are fighting against me and pushing me the other way, will I change me to match God's Word? Or will I change God's Word to match me? You'll need to answer that one question. And that one question will be absolutely critical to the rest of your life. Will I match me to God's Word once and for all? I don't care how much I think I want to go the other way. Or will I match God's Word to me? That one question will change your life. And you'll have to do it soon. But every single one of us will have to wrestle with that. Even when your heart and your attitude wants to go another way, here's something that has helped me so much and has saved my life from so much pain. Here it is. Would you write down number two? When you come to those points in life, you gotta go by what you know, not by what you feel. Go by what you know, not by what you feel. Even though you think you can get away with it one or two or three times, there will be years down the road you'll turn around and you'll struggle. So you've got to have something stable in your life. I know what God's Word says, and if I want God's blessings, I got to do it God's way. If I want Bible blessings in the long run, I'm going to do it Bible way.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled From Believing to Trusting by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the life journal we at New Hope follow. go to www.enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Again, that's www.enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. We encourage you to support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for radio and TV. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Giving tab. As you do, Philippians 4:17 says, "The fruit of this ministry will abound to your account." Mahalo and God bless you. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.